Grace and peace to you in the name of the one who is with us in all things. Amen. So while on vacation, my family and I launched in some kayaks, following a guide who took us snorkeling along Maui's south shore. And from what we heard from the guide's colleagues as we paddled out, we were lucky to have the expertise of the guide that we had. And as far as I could tell, it was very true. He did not present an arrogant knowledge of that area. It was the kind of knowledge that comes from a deep love and delight, and the many hours of days, of weeks, of years spent in the reef. This time and commitment of relationship. It was the kind of rare knowing that still wondered at our questions, however basic, and still open to learn. That any new miracle of life could still reveal to him a new insight. And it was the kind of knowing rooted in long relationship and delight and care that yearned for its preservation, so that long after his life was over, others could still delight. He was a part of the multi-group efforts of replanting Kaho'olawe and transplanting living coral onto dying reefs. He focused on the hope of those efforts without dwelling long on the grief of destruction. His was the kind of knowledge that could only be shared by following and watching and learning, not read in a published article or in a book or even on social media. It was to share his delight, which seemed to me his purpose, and why he took tourist group after tourist group, day in and day out, multiple groups per day to the same reef. In the brief interaction of our lives, his words and life seemed a sermon in themselves. And he shared with us the teeming sermon of the reef. It is to me a David way of living in a Goliath world. I have experienced what I know of many of your lives similarly. The many ways we minister and teach each other, often unknowingly, in small and often overlooked actions or interests, carrying only the crafts and gifts, the slings and stones of our own finite lives. And that includes the gift of music and our musicians. So as we paddled out, we listened as he shared about how to tell the gender of a sea turtle by the size and shape of its tail and its approximate age by the size of its shell. About how there is one honu in the area so old that it has the marks of Kamehameha carved in its shell. And he was serious. And how on turtle hatchling watches, he observed the little honu talking to each other. The newly born little ones creating a louder and louder chatter until they all feel ready to make it to the sea for the first time. Come on, guys, let's go. And down the shoreline, we anchored our kayaks, taking care to find a sandy place to throw the anchor so the line did not end up tangled on the reef. Snorkeling away from our kayaks, our bodies bobbing along so much by wave after wave that my mom got incredibly seasick, and I too, as unused to the rhythms of the water, got nauseous. I don't go snorkeling very often. We listened as our teacher guide noted detail after detail of life below the water, detail that we would likely pass without ever noting. And a world came alive. We put our ears below water to hear crackling, the sound of, from what I understand, thousands of shrimp snapping their claws, or for mantis shrimp punching the shells of their prey, this violent bar fight of the sea. He free dove down to pick up a small black sea urchin, though I can't remember its name, and he let us feel its movement along our hands as it searched in this unknown environment of our hands above the waters for its rock stability. He told us about the strength of the needles of the red slate pencil urchin and told us to be wary of the sharp points of the longer needled vana. And he even searched for what was not visible by its relationship to what was, trying to find the intelligent, evasive octopus by observing the movement and color of one of its prey, the veke, or goatfish. If the veke, which changes its color depending on its circumstances, showed red stripes of fighting or defense, and if it was moving erratically, its predator, the octopus, might not be far away. At one point, another example of seeing what most of us pass by, or at least I do, he dove far down to pick up a sand-covered snorkeling mask with a GoPro, a lost relic of some previous snorkeler who did not have the time or the care or the ability to pursue this discard. In the meanwhile, amidst all this life, the danger, the violence, the beauty, was the constant rocking of our bodies and the seasickness of some bodies, mine included, between the sea and the sky. Here was perhaps these different narratives, different motives, different levels of safety, of ability, of passion and mission, and all these different lives created uniquely, colored uniquely, moving uniquely, needs that clashed and complemented, different interests, different political loyalties, all in a kind of boat together, rocking and rocking, a beautiful and violent chaos of sorts, a storm of need and desire and survival and fear, of care and attention, all together in the boat of the sea, rocking and rocking. And so tell us, teacher, how do we make sense of this? How do we make sense of this storm of interest and desire and conflicting needs and various pursuits of varied political loyalties and different fears of different orientations and inclinations, this web of life? And do you not care that the miracle, this web of life, includes the violent punch of the mantis shrimp, the colored fear of the veke, the pain the vana inflicts, includes suffering, includes death, includes perishing? And the only response that we heard in the gospel today, amidst these sickening waves, rocking and rocking, is a question and a summons. Why are you afraid? Peace. Be still. Peace. Be still. Peace. Be still. Amen. Join us for our hymn of the day.